Hello and welcome to episode 44 of Carlene's Anime Corner, a St. John's County Public Library podcast. And I am here today with Zoe, who is sitting on a squeaky chair, so you might hear some squeaks out of her.
I will try not to move my best.
Yes, do your best not to move. And we also have as our special guest today, Miss Alex from the Bookmobile again.
Woohoo! Hi!
And we have her on here because we are discussing what she has told me is one of her favorite movies. Is that still true?
Yes.
Okay.
Completely.
Because you've rewatched it recently. So sometimes I can change your mind.
Nope. Just as good as I remember.
The nostalgia glasses can sometimes have a blinding effect.
I know, but I love them.
Yeah. All right. Have you guys done anything fun or nerdy since we got together last?
I finished my Halloween costume.
Oh, what are you dressing up as?
A Team Skull Grunt from the Pokemon series. I made it myself, so I'm very proud of it. I wore it at the Halloween carnival yesterday, actually, and I got recognized a few times.
Aww. Which is
awesome. It's really nice, and it's not fully done yet. There are some bits I got to tweak, and there are some like things I got to edit a little bit and more components, but like I'm really proud of it for what
That's
I have
great.
Now.
That's great. Well, awesome. And you're all ready for your next anime convention.
I am! I've already gotten emails for when it's in February, so.
Okay. You, Miss Alex, have you done anything fun or nerdy?
Yeah. So I just got back from a trip to Maine where I visited a ton of bookstores and libraries. So we did other things, too, but those were the highlights.
But I went to go visit up in New England, and I wound up going to one of the oldest still operating subscription libraries. And it's still
so
a subscription
cool.
library, so it's not a public library, so you have to pay to be a member of it. But it was really cool because it's been around for like 100 years or something
fantastic.
Like that.
Yeah, one of the libraries I went to was a Carnegie Library.
Ooh,
or
nice.
Carnegie, whichever
I've
way.
I've heard it both ways.
Mm-hmm. Could you explain to the audience what either of those are?
Yes. So a Carnegie or a Carnegie Library, mm-hmm. Andrew Carnegie, who had more money than anybody should rightfully have, and he's the reason why we have antitrust laws. So quick history lesson there. But he decided that he wanted to use his money for something worthwhile. And he created this program where towns could apply to him to get money to build public libraries in their town. And I took an entire history of the American Library class, and a lot of it was about Carnegie libraries. And they tend to all be built along, there was like five basic floor plans and stuff like that. But they used to be like the center point of a lot of these small towns across mm-hmm. the United States. And there are a lot of libraries that are still actually in their original Carnegie building, mm-hmm. which does cause some small issues with modern technology because they weren't designed to have things like electricity. But so it's exciting to be able to see one because I have not actually visited one yet. I've driven by a few, but I've never been inside one.
Yes. It was a really cool thing.
So this
to
is a very librarian nerdy thing.
I am the only young person here.
So
I do not understand. I am sad.
You'll get there.
Yeah, eventually. Yeah.
But so that's exciting.
Yes.
So that was.
Yeah, I had a great trip. That was the highlight.
So my thing was I went on vacation and I did a 7-day Halloween on the high seas Disney cruise.
Right after filming the One Piece episode, too.
Yes, yes. And my favorite part was I went with my mom and my sister, and we all agreed individually we would never do this, but as a group, we were going to get up our courage, and we were going to do this, and we did character meet and greets. And we had them sign autograph books.
Oh, I love this!
And the best meet and greet I did, the two top best ones were Donald Duck, because he was in his superhero costume because it was the Halloween one. Aww. And we were the first people. We were the ones who walked up, and he was the first one we had sign our autograph book. And he was so happy that he was number one in our autograph book. So, and then our last signing we did was with Stitch. And Stitch, if you ever have a chance to do a meet and greet with Stitch, it is hysterically funny because Stitch misbehaves and he just has fun misbehaving.
That's awesome.
So, yeah. He was using my mom's pen to like clean his teeth and stuff. And the person who was with him was like, "Will you stop doing that?"
That's adorable.
So, yeah.
Disney does a good job.
They do. It was a great deal of fun. But we are here today not to talk about Disney cruises, Carnegie libraries, or Halloween costumes. We are here today because we are going to be reviewing another Studio Ghibli film. Kiki's Delivery Service. So this film came out in 1989.
The year I was born.
I was already
born. That explains a lot, actually.
I was already born, so there we go. We have gotten the hierarchy of age.
I wasn't even conceived. I am small.
Aww. You are young. Oh,
I am
so young. But so hang on, let me get this right. It was directed by Hayao Miyazaki. It was produced by Hayao Miyazaki. And the screenplay was written by Hayao Miyazaki.
So it is completely his.
It is completely a Miyazaki film. Mm-hmm. So this movie is about a 13-year-old witch named Kiki. And apparently it is tradition in this version of the world that witches at the age of 13 leave home, go to a town where there is no other witch, and set up something special to them. Like a coming of age type thing. So she meets one witch on her way to town who is a fortune teller.
And not very nice.
Yeah, she's kind of a jerk. Yeah, not gonna lie.
We'll get into that. But
her cat looks like one of those Egyptian statues.
Yes, and she travels with her cat Gigi to the small seaside town where she sets up, surprise, surprise, a delivery service, since it's in the title. So we'll start with Miss Alex here. Mm-hmm. You said this is one of your favorite films. So what, out of 5 stars, what kind of rating would you give it?
You know I'm going to give it 5.
Okay. I wasn't sure because I have favorite films, but I still would give them a lower rating just because.
No, I love every part of it.
To be critical, yeah. Well, and all right. And Zoe, what was your rating for this one?
Last time I watched it, I didn't remember having any strong feelings. And I watched it again. Still the same. I'm so sorry, Miss Alex, but I would personally give this like a 3 stars.
That's okay.
Because I just did not get that much out of it when watching it. I mean, I guess that's the point, but like I kind of expected a little bit more.
This is probably the epitome of slice of life.
Yes.
I know, but like even then you can at least have like something engaging. I mean, it's nice. It's a really nice and relaxing movie, but like I just kind of forgot a lot of what happened, except for like 2 or 3 major events, and I didn't really understand how the ending worked at all.
Okay.
So I was kind of out of it when I was watching it because I couldn't really focus on anything. It was a bit too slow for me. Okay.
That's fair. What about you, Carlene?
So, okay, confession. Somehow I have managed to go through my entire life without ever seeing this movie.
Which completely shocked me when we discovered that.
It shocks most people. But now I can say I have seen Kiki's Delivery Service.
Yay! And what do you give it?
I gave it 3 stars.
Okay.
Because That's okay. A lot of it is the same of what Zoe was saying. Mm-hmm. To be honest, there wasn't a whole ton that like instantly grabbed me. I can't say anything bad about this movie. But it's not going to be one of my go-to Studio Ghibli films to watch.
That's fair.
I have to, if I was going to rank my top Studio Ghibli films, I think I'd have Spirited Away, My Neighbor Totoro, Howl's Moving Castle is the eternal favorite for me. I don't know why, but it is. And
I would put Secret World of Arrietty up there.
And Secret World of Arrietty I consider on my B list.
I know. But I like it because I only want to watch like certain parts of it and then forget the rest. That's what I do.
So Kiki's Delivery Service, as I said, there was nothing like I could point out and go, I didn't like that. Mm-hmm. There was nothing I could point out and go, that was amazing and astounding. Because like Wind Rises, when they do the earthquake scene, that was an amazing and astounding moment. Mm-hmm. Kiki's Delivery Service, it just kind of, even when she starts, when things get a little bit more exciting towards the end, it still didn't have like that extra oomph that I've come to expect from a lot of Studio Ghibli films. I think even My Neighbor Totoro, I felt more stress and anxiety about than Kiki's Delivery Service.
And what year did Totoro come out?
Totoro, I think, came out earlier.
Okay, because I was wondering, like, on the timeline of Miyazaki,
Let me real quick, while we talk here, pull up a list of his films in chronological order.
See, the thing, I am not against full slice of life, minimal drama shows and movies. Like, there are quite a few of them that I really enjoy. It's just that, I don't know, maybe it was just Kiki didn't leave that strong of an impression on me as a character, or the side characters were just kind of...
Is that the characters were good, but none of them really...
They don't really stuck out.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even remember what the boy's name was.
Okay, here we go.
Tombo.
Really?
Yes, I know. It's a weird name.
I actually remembered that name because it was kind of a weird name.
I didn't remember what his name was. I forgot what the cat's name was.
This does not include Princess Mononoke, Nausicaa, because that technically wasn't a Studio Ghibli film, so that would have been even before this. So it would have been Nausicaa, Castle in the Sky... And then Grave of the Fireflies and My Neighbor Totoro came out the same year because they were a dual release in the movie theaters.
That's terrible idea, by the way. That is terrible. A whiplash.
Spiked the sound. Oh my gosh.
I'm so sorry.
So
strong feelings there.
Yeah. Like, and then in 1989, Kiki's Delivery Service came out. So it is one of the very early ones.
Listen, the reason there was a lot of emotion there is because I saw Grave of the Fireflies as my second Studio Ghibli movie ever.
That was a poor mistake.
Oh. My first one was Spirited Away. So then I watched Grave of the Fireflies.
Oh man, I'm sorry.
It may have changed a little bit of things in me. So
real quick recap from My Neighbor Totoro, because this is kind of Ghibli knowledge. And to be honest, I did not go into a lot of the minutia on Kiki's Delivery Service because I was on vacation and I just watched a movie last night. But the reason why My Neighbor Totoro and Grave of the Fireflies was a double feature in the movie theaters was because My Neighbor Totoro was so short. It was only an hour long. And they also were like, we don't think anybody's going to come see this because... what is a Totoro? What is this? And they thought that they would get the school audience by having a historical fiction film with it, Grave of the Fireflies. Let us just say that both of them had really terrible box offices and possibly because of that choice.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
My Neighbor Totoro was a huge flop.
See, here's the thing. It's because the way they, if they're doing it a double feature, it's like you're going into an amusement park and they're like, on this side, we have adorable childhood whimsy for 60 minutes. And then on this side, we have children dying for 2 hours. And I'm like, how are you supposed to juggle both of those emotions?
Yeah. Well, and also, I think putting them together as a double feature probably also made it entirely way too long. It should have been 2 60-minute films if you're going to do that.
Yeah, Grave of the Fireflies is a lot longer than
anyway, Zorro. Back to what we're supposed to be talking about, Zoe.
I'm sorry.
Kiki's Delivery Service. You love this film. Yep. So tell us, what is your favorite parts about this movie? What made you fall in love with it?
Was seeing Kiki become more independent and mature over the course of the film. I don't know. I think I identified a lot with that the first time that I saw the movie.
Which I was thinking that as I was watching it, that if I was younger when I'd been introduced to this, maybe it would have made more of an impression on me that way.
Yeah. I think the first time I saw it was probably in high school or college, early college days when I was still learning how to be independent and how to be an adult and everything. So even though she's 13 in the movie and I was either 18 or 19.
She's acting like she's 18 or 19 though, because it's a little bit like she's left the house and she's on her own now.
Yep, exactly. So I identified with that a lot and the themes in the movie. Plus I loved Gigi so much.
I love the design of Gigi. Uh-huh. He's so small and cute. And the little big pointy ears.
The one scene that did stand out to me is when he has to pretend to be a stuffed toy.
the dog decided he needed to protect him.
That was really nice. Cute.
I did like that entire sequence where she loses him and the birds are really angry at her and everything. And I guess I expected more of that kind of thing from most of the movie, and then we wind up at the old lady's house making a pot pie.
And then it's the movie just kind of stops there. It goes a little bit. I mean, there's the whole thing with the blimp at the end, but I didn't really get why that was there, to be honest.
It was there because Miyazaki likes flying machines.
So he couldn't have put more witches.
Well, okay, this is based on a book, and it was a book written in Japan. So obviously, I have not read it. So maybe that was also in the book. Who knows? Mm-hmm. I don't know how.
Maybe
much,
it was an Earthsea situation where they had to cut out a lot of stuff, and it made things
possibly less
concise.
Mm-hmm. But so, and I did like the way they showed Kiki slowly gaining independence, confidence. But even when she was trying to get that independence, she still had a lot of support from the characters around her.
Yes.
The baker and...
I like the baker.
And his wife.
I really like the baker. They're cute.
That's cutest. I will say it. One of anime's cutest couples. Mm-hmm. Even though the baker says almost nothing throughout the entire
series. He doesn't need to. Listen, the scene where he makes a little bread Kiki and puts her in the window.
And he's so excited for her to see it.
And he's waiting for her to come and see it. And he's so excited.
And whenever he's baking and does little twirls of his bread pans and stuff,
showing off for Kiki and being on show and stuff.
He doesn't need to say
adorable. That was a good choice.
And I think if there had been more with them, more with her adventures on delivery, it would have felt more altogether. But something about it
I think
it's not a bad movie.
I think but what it was
never became a great one for me.
I think what it was is that they kept introducing these small moments that we think are going to build up to something or going to get more interesting and tie in something later maybe. Mm-hmm. But then it just kind of something happens like, oh, they stop at the old lady's house and then the story just slows down like drastically. Yeah.
See, like, and that's the part that I liked. I guess little silhouettes of what's happening. And
because the little bit of Kiki's, I guess what it was is I also went into it with expectations of something else a little bit. Because most of what I've seen of Kiki's Delivery Service are like the trailers where she's always flying around on her broom. Or
and it's Gigi not that is action
being sarcastic to her. Which I did hear, apparently, because I watched it in English. Did you guys also?
Yeah, I also watched it
in
English.
Yes, I've only seen it in English.
Okay. I did hear that, I did read, apparently, one of the reviews online was that the Japanese voice actor for Gigi, A, it was a girl, because apparently almost all cats in Japanese anime are voiced as with women's voices. Huh. But we've run into that a lot. Luffy is a woman.
Luffy is voiced by a woman. Ash is voiced by a woman in English and in Japanese.
I didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
Oh, have you ever heard Goku's Japanese voice actor?
No.
It's a little old lady.
That's amazing.
Whenever they want to do a higher pitched voice, they always get a lady to do it.
Yes.
So if you ever hear like a higher sounding voice in some kind of Japanese media, there's a 90% chance it's a lady.
It's a woman.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Goku has been voiced by the same lady for like decades. That's so amazing. By now she's like
same thing with Ash Ketchum from Pokemon. He's had the same voice actor since like the beginning. It's the lady.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Wow. Well, even the American
and Meowth
Luffy
too.
The American voice actress for Luffy is Colleen Klinkenbeard. They've had a woman doing it in the American one also because to get the pitch of his voice right, they had to use
Oh my gosh.
And like you can tell when you're watching it, but even then it's like you're like you're second guessing.
The American
yourself.
One is really hard because it's like he's just young and excited.
And it's also kind of gravelly.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little
gravelly voice.
See, his voice sounds scratch, probably because he's yelling all the time.
Yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. But anyway, okay. So sorry.
Back to
sidetracking. But apparently Gigi in the Japanese sounds more concerned and conscientious and less sarcastic.
But I like the sarcasm.
And I'm like, but a cat would be sarcastic.
Yes, 100%.
That's how cats are.
Yes.
Yeah. They'd be pushy and sarcastic.
And I just love that contrast.
Mm-hmm. One moment that I do think where the story slowed down that I did actually like is when she goes to the little house in the woods.
Oh,
and she meets the painter.
The painter, Ursula, I think is her name.
I did like that part. It was that was the good kind of slow.
Well, and that was I agree. That was a good kind of slow where she is having all these issues. Well, and also her second meeting with the painter when the painter comes to town and takes her to the cabin. I felt that was good because Kiki was actively working on her issues because there's a point where she loses confidence in herself and she forgets she literally can't fly anymore.
Mm-hmm. And she can't talk to Gigi.
Or talk to Gigi. Or actually, Gigi, she can talk to Gigi.
Oh, but
Gigi's not talking back.
Yes, she can't understand Gigi.
He never does, even after she starts flying again.
No?
No. Gigi doesn't talk to her again.
Oh, no.
So because of that, there is an online theory, and I don't know if this has ever been confirmed by Ghibli or Miyazaki, that her hearing Gigi talk was just her talking to herself. And that when she grew up, got older, got more confident, she didn't need Gigi to help her anymore.
Aww.
So Gigi doesn't talk to her anymore.
See, because the cat from the other witch that we see, does that cat talk?
No. We just see it staring at them.
Yeah, that's right.
So that might have some weight to it, to be honest.
So now, fun fact, apparently the first American dub Disney did, they added in some changes, which are no longer in the version we watched.
Hmm.
Because they took them back out again later on. Well, they added in some music where there wasn't music before because Japanese anime is known for having silences where in American stuff, we don't have silences. So they added in music so it wouldn't feel quite so foreign. And then they went ahead and they did have Gigi talk to her at the very end. He like said a couple sentences.
Really?
Yeah, a couple words to her. But that wasn't in the original Japanese one. So the version we have, the more recent dub, took that back out.
Interesting. Interesting.
So yeah,
I didn't catch that.
Yeah, because I was watching it and I was like, so is Gigi gonna talk? Is Gigi gonna talk? And they kept showing all the scenes during the credits and stuff, mm-hmm. and I was like, no, Gigi's not talking. He's definitely still with her, mm-hmm. still hanging out with his lady friend cat, but he's now more like a pet cat and mm-hmm. instead of a true witch's familiar that would be magical and talk and everything.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, so, that's crazy.
Yeah. So there. Anyway, there you go.
I think I figured it out. What has been bothering me with this is because the reason I liked the scene with the painter's cabin so much is because it came right after a moment of like intensity
with the birds chasing her.
With the birds and Kiki losing confidence and going through mm-hmm. this emotional.
So you
kind
don't
of chain.
Like it when the quiet moments are just quiet moment on quiet moment. You like having the rise and fall.
The rise and fall, it does make it seem more. I mean, it makes the quiet moments feel more impactful, I guess. Mm. It allows me to enjoy them more because it's like a calm after the storm sort of thing.
I did enjoy the moment when she walks into the painter's cabin and Ursula she does have a name. Ursula, mm-hmm. and they open the door and there's that painting that Ursula has done that Kiki inspired with her flying and everything. Mm-hmm. And it's just a weird, it makes me think of Salvador Dali for some reason.
Oh, interesting.
But it's very symbolic. It doesn't have a lot, it's not a literal painting, mm-hmm. but it shows like a flying horse, but you have like this profile of a girl and it's supposed to be Kiki. It doesn't look at all like Kiki, but it's kind of
More the impression,
but the way the eyes are done on both figures, because it's just one eye on each figure. Mm-hmm. When you look at it together, it's like they're merged into one creature. So it's just, I love that painting. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but and I
you love the
like,
painting made by a fictional person.
Yes, I do. I would I would not mind having a print of that painting.
There probably
honest.
Is a print of that
there
painting.
There probably
some.
Is.
It probably
if I go
is.
Looking.
It's like, I just... The old lady's house, just it just dragged for me. I don't know why.
I did like her... I guess maidservant.
Yes.
Oh, the
woman
weird,
who was
the weird maid
her.
Who was weirdly eager to see a blimp crash on TV.
Yes, yes.
She was an odd little lady, and she was so excited to see a witch.
She was excited to see a witch. She tried riding Kiki's broom at one point.
That's right.
She was like fascinated by the blimp on TV, and then when the accident started happening, she was like so excited, and she was like trying to get the channel to show up and everything. And I was just like. Yeah.
If there's one thing that Studio Ghibli does, it's weird old ladies. Every single really good movie has at least one.
Has at least one. But it was just like, and I was like, that is a very Miyazaki old lady.
Mm-hmm. Very like childlike.
Yes, childlike.
Just a kooky old lady.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it was just like, and I did like her because to be honest, if it had just been the other old lady, it would have been like, this is very sweet. And we have spent 5 minutes too long baking a pot pie.
Mm-hmm. What kind of pot pie was it like?
It was a herring, fish. Yeah, herring and pumpkin pot pie.
That does not sound tasty
no,
at
it
all.
Doesn't. No.
And I just felt so bad when Kiki delivers the pot pie to one of the teenage girls who was not especially nice to her.
No.
And the girl is just like, ugh, I told grandma not to make this.
And after now I will say that is where the follow through of having watched all this drama of baking this pot pie, mm-hmm. because you know how much went into trying to get that done, and then you have that.
Yes.
But I never felt like they did enough with that girl to make the follow-up worth it, because the next time you see her, she's literally just driving by in a car. She's not really,
yeah,
there's no real like fallout from that with the grandma or the girl or
like,
anybody.
There's no point, there's no real
well, because often in life there isn't.
No, there isn't. That's why I call this a slice of life.
Yeah,
because it truly is a slice of life where they leave a lot of dangling ends, because
you don't get that satisfaction like you do in most films.
I know, it just bothered me a little bit. Like, we spent so long making this pie
and this is all we get. Yeah,
like, that's why it's my least favorite part of the movie. I'm like, what's the I don't want to sit through this. I'm already disappointed in my real life.
One of the things I did like with Kiki, though, was, which is very 13-year-old girl, is she's very upset. She wants to be a witch. She wants to go off independently and be a witch. Mm-hmm. She doesn't want to wear a witch's dress.
That's right.
Because her mom is like, she's all excited. It's like, this is the night. I'm leaving. There's a full moon. There's no rain. Da 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 da. I'm
perfect.
Leaving. And then her mom puts the dress on her.
Yep.
And she's like, do I have to wear this? What about, don't like this color. I want to wear white and lavender and mm-hmm. stuff. And her mom's like, no, this is the color all witches wear. And that is a theme throughout the rest of the movie, that she is not happy with this dress. She wants to wear colors. She wants to look nice and all this. And I think that's what irritates her most about the high school girls, is that even if they were nice to her, because they're wearing the clothing she wants to wear and mm-hmm. she can't wear it and be a witch, that, and I think that's what causes her partially to lose confidence in herself, is that she can't see, is because she has to wear this clothing to be a witch.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a part of me that's like, but does she really?
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like an odd restriction.
Really. It is a really odd restriction that she has to wear this black. It's not even a true black. It's
like a bluish black.
Bluish black mm-hmm. colored
it's like Raven,
dress.
It's like Raven colors.
And it's not even like a fancy dress. It almost is like a bag on her. Yeah. Because it doesn't have a waist or anything.
No, very loose. Very,
yeah.
I don't
very
know.
Billowy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was just like, but why?
I feel like there's like a message there about like tradition and how it like holds you back or something, but I don't
well,
know.
Well, except for that's I don't think point. So because she's still wearing that dress at the very end.
Yeah, and I'm like,
so it's like she's chosen the path of a witch.
Mm-hmm. So like,
but
she's also a delivery service person.
Yeah.
And she doesn't really do a lot of quote unquote witchy things.
Yeah, like her mom did, it was like, oh, I didn't even have a chance to teach her about potions. So obviously her mom's brewing potions. So obviously it's a very witch thing to do. Mm-hmm.
But it seems like each of them has something specific that they do. Like the girl that she met when
does
she was flying.
Telling.
Yeah, fortune telling. Her
but
mom does
all
potions.
Kiki can
she's
do is fly. And she's not even very good at that.
Oh, poor Kiki.
I'm just like.
She'll learn more as she
I
gets
mean,
older.
I mean, she's found her little niche, but also.
She has. But is that niche going to hold her through? Like, is she ever going to get more training in something else?
I don't know. Do we need a Kiki's Delivery Service part two?
I don't know if we need a part two. I just have questions about
this.
About this
movie
whole...
gives you a lot of questions.
Yeah. Yep. It would make more sense if at age 13 she was leaving home to go off to do an apprenticeship or mm-hmm. something. But to be truly independent.
I'm just saying, if
like...
you sent me out in the world to do my own thing at 13, I'd probably be dead in a ditch within a month. Don't trust 13-year-olds with themselves, even if they think they're adult enough. Like, I am shocked Kiki managed to make it out so well in this movie.
Yeah.
And even then, she's still struggling.
Well, I'm assuming it's a different time.
Well, yes.
Where people are miraculously very
nice. I am going
to guess,
considering that there are blimps and the style of the cars, I'm going to guess that this was set sometime in the 1920s, 1930s.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was the era of the blimp. Because
mm-hmm.
after the Hindenburg, blimps kind of...
Oh, yeah.
Died
stopped.
Out.
Stopped being a thing.
Stopped being a thing. Which, hey, at least we didn't have a Hindenburg in this movie. Goodness. Which when it hit the clock tower, I was like, so is it going to explode?
Oh, God. is Tombo going to die on screen?
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, oh, we're going to have a fiery death happen
We don't
here.
Need another traumatic movie.
So,
Grave of the Fireflies was enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Spirited Away was enough.
But yeah, and then we go ahead, and the other thing is I was trying to figure out where this was placed, which I mm-hmm. did read online that apparently Miyazaki was inspired by some areas of Sweden.
Oh.
Which I did not peg it as Sweden, quite honestly. I pegged it as Germany because the font on a lot of the signs and stuff reminded me of the old German font they used to use a lot. I think it was called Fraktur or something like that.
Okay. Yeah, that would make more sense to me.
It was definitely like a small European town.
Definitely a small European seaside town.
Mm-hmm.
Still way bigger than Kiki's town.
Oh, yeah.
She comes from like small European village.
Mm-hmm.
Small European village out in the sticks somewhere.
Yes, and she nearly gets hit by a car within
That's
her first
right.
10 minutes.
Right.
And
she's
then
she adjusting
just,
to
and she
cars.
Crashes, she crashes yes. onto the street and she's like, I'm a witch. And then ladies and old ladies are like, that's nice, dear.
That's nice. Yeah.
Aww. I don't think they get
well,
witches.
And it's fascinating because it's like some of the people know about the witches
mm-hmm.
and some people have no idea about witches. So it's like this interesting mix.
Are like witches not really a common thing?
I think they're becoming less common, or maybe they don't go to big cities as much.
Maybe, mm-hmm. yeah.
So,
I mean,
and
she didn't know what a car was.
And she did travel very far because she wound up falling asleep on that train. So who knows how far away she wound up from where she
mm-hmm.
lives.
Yeah, I mean, she might have been to an area that doesn't have any witches
well, they,
at all.
And they
well,
said
they
there
said...
hasn't been a witch there for like 100 years
yeah,
or something.
It's been a long time.
Long
I think
time.
That's what we got from the little funny woman, right?
Yes.
She was saying
yes,
that it's...
Yes, the maid.
Mm-hmm.
Funny little maid lady.
Yes.
But see, and the guy, but the old guy who was cleaning the clock tower, he also remembered witches.
Yep.
So
you have the very oldest
and
people
Tombo
who remember.
Remember, knows about
well,
witches.
Yes,
but Tombo
he
is...
knows about them, but I feel like he probably read about it in a book.
Yes.
Or his grandma told him.
Or his grandma told him.
And he held on
like
to that.
Yeah.
He's like just
and
adorable
became,
little nerdy boy.
He became
boy.
Fascinated
so
by it.
So shall we talk about Tombo?
Yes, let's talk about Tombo.
I don't remember anything about Tombo.
Oh, poor Tombo.
All I know is that he wore a
striped
shirt.
Mm-hmm. The Where's Waldo outfit?
Yes.
With a little sweater
and,
tied over
and
it.
And Kiki doesn't like him because he's annoying.
Well, I think Kiki doesn't like him also because she comes from a small town, and he says, you have very old-fashioned manners. Mm-hmm. And I think she is a little bit overwhelmed by Tombo.
Yep. Because he sees her moment she gets into town, and is immediately like, oh, it's a witch, please, like, tell me everything. Like, you're so cool.
So and then she also I am going to defend Tombo to a certain extent. He is a overly enthusiastic, nerdy boy who loves anything that flies.
Yep.
Which now has Kiki in that category.
Yep.
And Kiki didn't know how to respond to that. Because she does want to go to the party that he invites mm-hmm. her to. So she's not... She doesn't hate him. I think she's overwhelmed by him.
Yep. Because he keeps asking her all these questions, and she doesn't know the answers to any of them.
Yep. So she just gets upset and does her little,
and walks off with, like, I'm going to ignore you because I just...
The little Studio Ghibli.
Yes.
So cute.
Yes. But I like Tombo, and I kind of wish we had gotten to see more of his group because he has an aviation club he's part of.
Yeah.
And
like
stuff,
maybe there could have been like a scene where he invites her to like a meeting with the aviation club, and he just kind of hangs out with
like
a bunch
of other
kids.
The party didn't happen, but here we're having the aviation club tomorrow. Do you want to come? And she drops in or something. It would have been nice to meet more of his circle, if that makes sense.
It would have been nice for Kiki to meet more kids.
Yep.
Because she's only known like three.
And she's just around a bunch of adults all the time.
A bunch of old people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But
shockingly nice adults.
But I have the feeling Kiki, I wonder if she also kind of starts losing her confidence in flying and being a witch. Because she goes to see Tombo and they do that whole bike ride together. She walks to his house. She doesn't fly. It's like after that whole party incident.
Oh, yeah.
And I wonder if a part of her is she gets to hang out with Tombo, have a normal afternoon not being a witch. Mm-hmm. And then she meets all the other teenagers who are also having their normal afternoon, but they get to be in pretty clothes. Mm-hmm. They get to drive around in this car, and Tombo is friends with all of them. And she's seeing just how her life could be if she wasn't a witch.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she was already starting to see that with the party invite.
Mm-hmm.
So in some ways, I think Tombo caused her crisis.
But also brought her
indirectly.
Out.
But also helped bring her out of her crisis.
Yeah.
So, aww. I don't know. It's just, I love the fact, I did like that little slow, like, the way her crisis started happening with her losing confidence, because they did very carefully build that up over time, but you had to watch to see it happen.
Yep. I'm gonna be honest, a lot of what you just said flew over my head when I watched it. I didn't get any of that.
Aww.
I didn't catch any of that. I was trying not to fall asleep.
Because it's slow. But
it's
honestly, like,
movie.
that's how it happens, though. Like, that's how life is, especially when you fall into a rut or into a depression and you're dealing with those confidence
issues.
And it's
just a gazillion little tiny pieces that slowly build up. One small thing, she doesn't like her dress.
Mm-hmm.
And that builds into bigger and bigger and bigger things until it's, I can't fly.
Mm-hmm.
Which is one of the things she likes doing. She's not good at it, but she likes doing it.
And it's part of what makes her a witch. It's her whole identity.
And that's it. Is she's suddenly like, if I can't fly, what am I?
Yep.
Who am I? What can I even survive?
Mm-hmm. And then she gets cabin therapy with a weird painter.
Yes.
Okay. There is something true about art therapy.
Yes. She did art therapy.
Talk to a weird artist for a few minutes.
She learned about an artist creative blocks, artist blocks. And she was just like, that's what you have. It doesn't mean it's gone. It just means you need to rediscover it.
Mm-hmm.
And stop trying so hard.
I like Ursula.
I liked Ursula a lot.
Mm-hmm. She's a fun character.
Time period, hitchhiking away. Aren't you gonna stop for me? I'm a lady. Oh, I didn't realize you were a lady. I love the pickup driver. What do you mean with these legs? I was just like, I love Ursula.
Oh, she's hilarious. And that's part of what I like about the movie too, because she meets all of these different people.
She does.
And
she meets very different people. The very pregnant baker's wife.
Yep.
Who at the climax of the film is like, I need to go to the hospital.
Of course.
I mean, if you see a pregnant character in a movie, there's like a 90% chance something's going to happen later on with them.
I'm giving this a 3, not because it was a bad movie. In the complete works of Studio Ghibli, this is not the movie I would sit down first and watch.
That's fair.
And it's also not one that I would recommend first.
Yeah.
If I wanted to get someone into Studio Ghibli's work,
I would probably recommend Castle in the Sky if I was going to get
Castle
somebody
in the
into
Sky,
that.
Or if you want to really wow them, just throw Spirited Away and make all their standards unreasonably high.
See, and weirdly enough, I watched Spirited Away for another episode, which you weren't with, Zoe, with two people who wanted to like it and didn't. They gave it a 3.
They didn't like it?
Yeah.
Because Spirited Away is like a good mix for me, a perfect mix between action and slow.
Yeah.
And, I didn't dislike a single character.
I think what they didn't like was the fairy tale aspect of it.
Well, that's just a them problem.
Yeah.
Well, that's just a you problem then. If you don't like a fantasy movie and you watched a fantasy movie and rated it low when you don't like fantasy movies, then that's just bias.
Well, no, I what I mean is, like, it wasn't, not that it was fantasy, but that it was specifically set up like a fairy tale. It didn't have what they were looking for as far as, like, we were talking about with this, closure, reasons why, and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, as I said, there's a lot of reasons why people don't like things and why people like things.
Spirited Away had closure. It had an ending, which is more than you could say about 2 or 3 of Ghibli's other movies.
Yeah, well,
some Porco feelings coming out.
Talking to you, Porco Rosso. Where's your ending?
Which, to be honest, I do love a Porco Rosso.
I do love it too, but where's the ending?
There is no ending. It's not meant to have one. And okay, this is
Zoe's having a moment now.
This is not meant to be an overview of every Studio Ghibli film. So,
this is what happens when you watch a movie to review when you don't have a lot of strong feelings on it. So you keep gravitating to other stuff.
Other things. So we talked a little bit about where this movie is set, which is definitely solidly 2030s European city on the sea.
Definitely.
We had blimps.
Mm-hmm.
We have Tombo's weird flying machine, which we only got to see in the end credits, fully built. Still don't quite understand how on earth he was allowed to ride a bicycle with a giant propeller on it on public roads.
Yep, that's questionable.
I don't think his parents are very closely supervising him.
I'm not sure anybody is closely supervising him, to be 100%
honest. Where are his
honest.
Parents anyway?
Yeah, we never do meet them, but
no.
They weren't important to the story. I was ready for the E.T. moment, though, when she makes his entire bike fly after they fall off the cliff, and it didn't happen. And I also wonder if maybe her falling like that also added to her non-confidence, because it looked like for a moment the bike almost was going to fly, and then all of a sudden it didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if maybe she was trying to make it fly and she failed, and that added to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked Tombo, to be honest. I did like him.
Mm-hmm. He's loud.
Yes, but everybody else was so quiet, you needed a loud character. Thank you all for joining me today and talking about Kiki's Delivery Service. I hope we didn't disappoint you too much in our views, Miss Alex.
That's okay. I completely understand.
We're very particular about our anime.
I'm sorry. That is fair.
Well, you probably felt about the way I did when I did my Spirited Away episode, and I was like, I love it. And they're like, meh.
But I need to have words with those people.
And I thank you all, audience, for joining us as we talked about Kiki's Delivery Service. We have taken care of another Studio Ghibli film. We've done quite a few of those in the last couple years.
We have. Yeah.
But
I mean, there's a lot to go through.
There are a lot of them, and they're all very slightly different too, which I enjoy.
And actually, I've done a lot of them with you. Now that I think about it, I think most of ours have been.
Did you do the Howl's Moving Castle one?
No.
No, that was.
I did My Neighbors, the Yamadas.
Yes, you did.
Oh yeah,
I did. What else was there?
We did a My Neighbor Totoro.
Yeah, we did
Were
My Neighbor. Yes, I was. I did the My Neighbor Totoro, and then we also did. That one that had a different
Earwig
style. Yes, Earwig and the Witch, that neither of us liked.
That strange movie.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So
was it Earwig and the Witch?
Earwig?
The 3D one?
Yeah.
The 3D one. Yeah, that's Earwig and the Witch.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
I keep trying to call it something else that it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to make sure I got
it
right.
You want to change your perception of it so bad.
There were parts of that I liked, if you listen to our review.
There were parts of it. I listened to the review.
There
were parts of it.
So anyway. So thank you all for joining me for another of our Studio Ghibli, and we really need to stop rabbit trailing. The three of us should never be on a podcast together again. If you have any comments or suggestions, go ahead and you can email me at the email that's in our show notes. And shall I go ahead and give them a preview of what's coming next?
Yeah, sure.
Since we've already decided?
Yeah.
Okay. We are going to be reviewing Zoe and Miss Amy, who has been on previously for Howl's Moving Castle. We are going to be reviewing Mamoru Hosoda's Belle, which I have not seen, Zoe hasn't seen, and I'm pretty sure Miss Amy hasn't seen. So it's going to be a new first watch for all of us.
I've seen a trailer for it, but I've that was a while ago.
I've seen a trailer, that was it. But it's Mamoru Hosoda, and as far as I can tell, sometimes his storytelling gets a little weak, but his visuals are always great.
Very shiny.
Very shiny. So, and with that, we're going to say goodbye.
Yeah, goodbye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening.